Blog Talk Radio.
Awaken consciousness. It's time for a paradigm shift. It's time for love and empowerment. It's time to create your ideal life. It's time to deploy the Awaken Life Excel process. If you're a freedom-loving soul, today we're going to be discussing all kinds of things: entrepreneurship, wellness, holistic health, fitness, and other life-enriching discussions. Don't miss in the Awaken series. Your life will change, and you will restore exceptionalism. And with our solution-driven discussions, be a part of the conversation. Be the voice of truth. This is Carol Ann Parisi, and I know Nancy G's live on the mic. How you doing, Nance?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Nance.
Yeah.
We didn't win the lottery. $1.5 billion or $3 billion.
Well, but I think we're just going to discuss how we're already winners, regardless of our monetary status.
You know what I find is interesting? I mean, yes, it was a feeding frenzy, and it's cool to fantasize and all the cool things you could do and yada, yada. But the thing is, all of a sudden, you get $500 million. How do you think that would affect the average person?
I think they would lose their sense of rational thinking. And they would become very inward thinking as far as what can they buy themselves materialistically with the money, instead of, as we've made discussion before about money, it's in the tool, to fulfill your purpose in this life. So I think that would become obscured seriously by the excitement of material goods that everyone has on their little wish list.
I think it's the journey to achieve material abundance, if you will. There is a certain journey that people go through that really helps to define and enrich who and what an individual is. I mean, I really think, what we discussed the other day after the lottery, it's like, you know what? People like us that know the secrets and the tools to abundance and wealth and prosperity know that there's nothing for nothing. Everything has a cost, and it's the law of cause and effect that we've discussed before too. And I think that, I mean, yes, doesn't mean I'm never playing the lottery again. Believe me, I think it's fun. It's fun to fantasize. But I think the reward when you go ahead and you set a goal and you focus on a goal and you establish, you know, a plan, and you create something from nothing, and then you become wealthy, I think the rewards are really, I mean, I think there's a profound greatness in that. And an example, the gentleman Jack who I worked with, he started a business with $5,000 in his basement, and he created a multi-million dollar legacy corporation that, even though he's gone to the other side, is still thriving and, you know, creating jobs and providing for families. So, I mean, you know, I don't even know if he ever bought a lottery ticket. I think our lottery ticket are these tools, these success tools and mindset and and goal-driven behavior. What say you?
Absolutely. Just I'm turning off my alarm. It was reminding me to be on the show.
You were in very early today.
Yeah, because I was puttering around. Absolutely. It's the process in which you acquire your money. It's not always just being the lump sum of money. You see some of the negative side effects of people with winning the lottery is one, and then the big inheritance. You know, I finally got my family inheritance.
Oh my gosh, the inheritance. Let's talk about the inheritance, because we've both personally experienced several $100,000 inheritance that has been frittered away in less than 5 years, 10 years.
Oh yeah, I don't know when did this person's parents perish?
About 2010.
Okay.
Maybe
yeah,
11.
That's only 6 years. Yeah,
maybe 11.
Not even.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's crazy. But all of a sudden, okay, you know what? Buying a place to live and paying it off is awesome, because now everybody needs a place to live. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And a decent vehicle to drive. I totally, that I get. You know, you get your nice car that you've always wanted. That totally, you know, that satisfies the ego. It makes sense, you know.
Right. The nice car. But does it have to be that nice car? I guess, okay, fine. Paid for, done, cash, great. But the frivolity, and then having a significant other, I guess. I don't know what you would call it. That was never worked. And then the sad thing is, what happens when people get these big amounts of money? They stop working. And then what happens when you stop working? Don't you feel your worth? You know, your worth goes down, and your own intrinsic self, you know, self acknowledgement and self worth goes down.
Oh, absolutely. I can't imagine what not working. I've wanted to work at something since I was really little. It was just an intrinsic thing for me, with starting a little lemonade stand, and then I would collect different things from different situations and do what we would call now like my own like little garage sale or whatever amongst the kids in the neighborhood and babysitting at age 10, because that's what was socially acceptable back then. But making my own money all the time and having a purpose and a goal and something to strive for. So I don't know what that looks like to not do that.
You know what's so funny is that if you watch kids, okay, kids are always busy doing something. They're busy playing with blocks, building something, doing. They're always like playing and creating and They're doing something. So it shows you at our very core, doing something, working at something, is very intrinsic to the human psyche, you know?
Yeah, probably from the olden days when you had to work from sun up to sundown just to provide your daily needs. Wood for your fire, cooking your food, baking bread took all day long, things like that. Were, you know, taking care of your animals and your harvest and your property. I mean, that took all day long. So I think that was always intrinsically born into human beings to be productive.
Be productive. Yes. Right. Yes. Add value. Be productive. It's just really, you know, it's sad that some people now there are, you know, I'm sure, and I haven't done any research on this. I don't know if you've ever heard of any. I've never known anyone who's won a lottery, but I just wonder,
nope.
You know, if somebody won a lottery and then went ahead and started, you know, business and made more success out of it and planted good seed that was even more profoundly prolific, you know.
No, I know of two people that both inherited good amounts of money, and both of them have ended up in the same spot, broke. Went and tried to do business things with their money, but I think the one thing they forgot to do in their business plan was put someone on board that could help them build a business, because these people knew nothing about building a business, two people I'm talking about.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that, because when I started my first business, I knew nothing about building a business. I just did. Now, I mean, it was do or die. You know, I was in a do or die situation. And then because I stepped out and did what I was supposed to be doing, I mean, I thought about it, you know, years before, you know, I started thinking about it, but, you know, who am I? I don't know anything about building a business. I've never done this before. I didn't come from a family that had their own business. Who am I to do this? But it was funny because out of necessity, I just got up and I did it. And, you know, you step out of that box, and all of a sudden the right people come to you. And that is kind of the law of deliberate creation, you know what I'm saying, where you're doing the right things, and then all of a sudden doors open up for you and windows open up for you, and you start meeting the right people at the right time. And, you know, it's really cool when you're, quote-unquote, in the flow and just deliberately creating, and it's cool. I mean, it is cool. But, I mean,
so
I had
good... We would say these other people did win a pile of money to work with. So what do you think their intentions of what they were doing were flowing in the wrong direction? I'm just trying to make a similarity, like, why did people come to your aid to help you and help grow your business, but these people were just handed money and just pissing it away left and right. Ended up in a whole different place.
Because I asked. I was always asking. I was grateful. I was always asking. You know, I was always asking, you know, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you know, I had a business. Really? Tell me about business. Tell me what, you know. I was very coachable, very humble.
Okay.
I mean, I never got to be, you know, oh, yeah, I'm all that. Well, it depends on, okay, I mean, people that were trying to pick my brain to do my business, and I saw a lot of deliberate trying to undermine what I've done, you know, yeah, then I'd get cocky. It's like, you know what, don't want what I have unless you're willing to do what I do to get what I have. Because, you know, there's a lot of that out there. You know what I'm saying? People see you, you know, and sometimes, you know, it looks like you're lucky. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You had to do a lot of money. Oh, you're just lucky. No, really? Really? If you're willing to do what I had to do for my luck, then perhaps,
yeah.
You know.
Go walk my last year in my shoes. Let's go roll it backwards, and you can be in my shoes.
Right.
And I'll be
right.
The observer, and let's see if you come out in the same place I came out.
You know, luck is when preparedness and hard work merge, you know?
Right, exactly.
But preparedness is not as anal and paper to pencil as you think. Yes, you write your goals down, but sometimes, I mean, I know a couple of things I've done, I just kind of took that leap of faith, like the Van Halen song goes, jump, you know, it just jumped, it did it. It's like, wait a minute, I can do this. Yes, I can do this. Like back in 2009 when, you know, all this stuff was going on, and I said to Mark, you know, hey, dude, I'm not going to work anymore. I'm going to, like, focus on taking my country back, and with the skill sets that I had and the passion that drove me, you know, that was the, you know, I think passion had a lot to do with it, you know what I'm saying, and purpose. There was a definite sense of purpose. And I totally focused on it. I went to any class that could teach me how to, you know, be a better organizer or learn the process and learn how the process goes and what to do in situations and get people to walk precincts. And, you know, I mean, I already had a lot of the leadership skills from running businesses, so holding meetings was a piece of cake for me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the other stuff I knew nothing about. And the sad thing is, I don't know if I ever told you this, but our mutual friend was a huge encouragement. This person said, you're passionate about this, and you've run businesses. You could do this. You could start a group and do something if you're, you know, you believe you can. And I did. I just jumped, man. So,
sometimes you have to just jump. Exactly.
Yeah, sometimes you jump and you hit a brick wall. And sometimes it's harder to get up than others, you know. Sometimes it's hard to get up.
Sometimes it's really hard to get up. And sometimes you can allow yourself a little time to go, oh, my gosh, this really is hard. But then you set a time limit on that, and then you're like, okay, yeah, it's really hard, but
well, and
I still have to get up and do.
And I think sometimes we get distracted. I mean, I know last year I had a couple distractions, but you know what? I'm sure at the end of the day those will serve. Do you know what I'm saying? Like being on the radio and doing some of that stuff last year, it's like I still don't see the purpose in that, but maybe I'm not to see it ever, or maybe someday there will be, you know, fruit from that. I don't know. Or maybe it was just to teach me how not to be. You know, I learned a lot of lessons. I already knew how not to be, but maybe it was just a real good
reminder, you know. I think it was showing you what how a leader shouldn't be, just like the one working situation that I deal with now is I deal with it because there's a mutual beneficial situation. But I do observe it to the point of, you know, that this is not how I would ever choose to run my organization. I would have people that were loyal to me and wanted to do good for me because the more good they do for me, the more good I can do for them. And everyone would be like, you know, excited and wanting to come to work, not bitching and complaining behind their back because they're a tyrant.
Right.
You know, so that, you know, maybe I need to learn that for some future, you know, leadership role that I'm going to end up in. You know, who can know? I'm just, you know, it reminds the journey thing. The image in my head, and maybe I could find a good picture on a poster of this, is like surfing. And I don't surf and I don't like swimming in the ocean much, but I think of those people when they go get up on that top of that wave and they're riding the wave and they have to adjust their course and shift their weight and use their mind and really concentrate on that moment so they don't get smushed by the wave. And I think of, you know, the journey of life like that, like riding this big, huge wave.
That's pretty cool. That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Great analogy. I looked at
some stuff the other day, and I'm like, yeah, like riding the wave. Yeah, just ride the wave. There you go.
Well, you know, and all this fits with an entrepreneurial mindset, too. It's starting something and, you know, making a plan and learning to adjust your sales or whatever, you know, it is for the wave to get things really moved forward in a good way. And it's all very interesting.
Yes, quite a journey, I must say.
Yes, it is. So I got something that I think is kind of cool. It's a discussion on focus, because I think for myself, and I think for a lot of entrepreneurial people that are highly creative, focus starts, you know, it's a more of a challenge, if you will. So, and here it says, where is your point of focus? People are already experts on focusing on what they manifest in the world. This is an inborn quality of the brain. Whatever you focus on is created in your world. As you have learned, a lot of people focus on what they do not want. The brain, however, cannot tell the difference if you're focusing on something because you want it or you are focusing on it because you don't want it. It just sees something that you focus on as something you do want. So it just says, okay, we can do that. We can create that. It is impossible to continue to create negative results in your life and do so consciously. All the negative results you are creating, you will continue to create for your entire life as long as you do it unconsciously. as long as you are running on automatic or by default, as soon as you become really consciously aware of what you are focusing on, then all that stuff doesn't serve you. It falls away. All that stuff that doesn't serve you falls away. It's no more complicated than that. It's simple, so simple that your conscious mind will find all sorts of reasons why things won't work. But if you follow the steps and don't give up until you get your result, your life will be changed forever. And that is so true. That is so true. I mean, you start thinking about people, you know, people kind of sometimes become what they think about most. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, they do. If you really, mostly you look at their life and then what's going on, it's really obvious. You know, people say, well, why this is happening? It's like, well, I don't know. I can see it pretty clearly.
Well, I mean, I'll just give you a recent example. I like to eat healthy, but I also like my nachos and my sweets and yada yada, right? So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I was telling myself, oh my God, I'm so fat. Well, first of all, I'm not fat, but I was quote unquote feeling fat. And yes, some of my clothes were not fitting me the way they should. Yeah, I could zip them up, but I looked like a stuffed sausage. But I kept telling myself, oh my God, I'm so fat. I feel so fat. I can't believe how fat I got. Well, what did I keep doing? I kept on gaining weight. Well, I stopped weighing myself because here's the thing. I was like giving myself this self-talk, and then 4 days later I was eating like, you know, healthy or not eating, and I didn't lose any weight. Well, I was getting frustrated. What was I focusing on? I was focusing on fat. I was focusing on weight. So for the past three and a half weeks now, Mark and I have been doing like that Atkins, our own little flavor of it, if you will. Been doing very low carb, eating very high protein, lots of vegetables. I have not weighed myself. I have no clue what I weigh. But I'll be honest with you. I feel better. I have more energy for the most part. And my clothes are starting to fit me better already. You know what? For me, weight loss, I really think the scale is just, it's just a stupid thing. I did not weigh myself. I have no idea. I mean, I might have some idea what I put down as far as a weight, but I think I focused on being healthy and focused on eating the right things and focused on feeling good and creating, you know, good, you know, low-carb recipes, and I see that it's working. And it's already now, you know, it'll be 4 weeks. It'll be 21. Well, I'm sorry. It'll be 21 days. It'll be 3 weeks on Thursday because we started New Year's Day. So, I mean, my tip to anybody who wants to lose weight is don't focus on the fat. Focus on how you want to feel and how you're going to feel in your new clothes or whatever. You know, don't weigh yourself. It's just a number. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. I haven't weighed myself in I don't know how long. I still buy clothes for sure. And I go by people's comments. Oh, you know, and I know they're not just idle comments to pacify me, you know, just like, wow, you know, you're really, you know, looking better or thinner or whatever, you know, healthier. And then, yeah, just by how I feel, because I know the difference. I've been really, really heavy before when I've been in a funk and, you know, just eating whatever and totally unconsciously just, you know, eating and whatnot. And then I know when I pay attention to it and if I'm, you know, on good path, then I feel good. And it's all that's important to me. I don't care what the numbers say and I don't care what size some pants maker says, you know, you fit in a 10, a 12, a 14, whatever. That I just look at as a number too. I'm like, hey, where did they come up with these standards anyways? Just a way to delineate, you know, in some reasonable fashion what size is, but why does it matter what size you are as long as the clothes you have on fit you and look good?
And you feel fabulous.
You know.
Well, that's the thing with me.
Yeah.
I was I had clothes that I loved that were not fitting me, and they were not making me feel good. I was not feeling empowered in them. And then you start getting in a funk. And then there's other stuff that you get funky about. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, you start going down the vortex, you know?
Oh, yeah. You can certainly send yourself down the, why do I eat so much? Why did I let myself get fat? You know, all that. But again, then if you know better, like if that's your whole focus, fat, and that's all you think about all day long, well, what are you going to get? More fat.
Right. Right. Well, you start focusing on dieting. Oh, my God, I got to diet. You know what? When I was young, when I was like 17, 18, 19, I was 162 pounds. I was like a size 14. And you know me, I'm not that. I mean, you know. But all
right.
I ever did, I mean, I'm going to diet. Oh, tomorrow I'll diet. Let me eat everything now. Let me diet. I drove myself crazy. And then I had a quote-unquote boyfriend that was like, oh, you'd be so pretty if you weren't so heavy. Why don't you lose weight? Well, hearing that, it's like, oh, what? That's just, you know. Well, eventually got rid of him, met another guy. And I'm very self-conscious. I mean, I always had fun. I mean, I am who I am. But one thing that was really a big head thing for me back then was my weight. And I'm like, yeah, I'm heavy. It doesn't bother you that I'm heavy, because I don't care if you're 300 pounds, because you're a really nice person. Well, I got down to 112 pounds in like 6 months. Why? Because it was okay. You love me for who I am. You see beyond all the other bullshit. And it was really liberating, and I stopped dieting. You know what I'm saying? It was, and I've really never been, you know, I've never been, you know, that heavy. Well, it's not true. I was that heavy again when I gave birth. I was heavier.
That's a whole different circumstance.
And I got a little chunky in about 2008. So, but now I'm just, you know what? I get it. I know that I can, I know what I can do. I know what I shouldn't do, and this is working really well. We got about 2 more minutes, Miss Nancy.
Holy moly.
What's the temperature by you real quick?
It's only about 50. It's a little chilly for us Floridians here.
Yeah. Well, we've got 3 degrees.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here like I probably would up north, except maybe with another layer. I mean, I have cozy socks on. I have fleecy sleeping pants, a t-shirt and a fleece jacket. Chilly, I don't know. It's just how your body reacts to it. And because everybody around you says, oh, it's so cold, it's so cold, it's so cold.
Right.
Becomes the reality, you know, becomes the reality just.
Yeah.
Because 50 degrees right now in Chicago would be like everybody would put shorts on.
Oh my God, I'd have the convertible out.
Right. So it's just all relative. Well, it's nighttime now, so when the sun was shining, it really was. It was very quite pleasant. But I just go through this little cold snap. It's called winter. Winter is everywhere, even in Florida.
Well, we've got 90 seconds. So, anything exciting going on this week for you? Any pearls of wisdom?
No, I'm just doing a one day at a time, trying to get the blockages for whatever you know, I'm trying to accomplish out of my way. So I'm doing this self-study course, but it's very slow. It's meant to be one little thing at every single day, so it's kind of interesting.
And what kind of self-study course? You have 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's called Clear Your Clutter, but it doesn't necessarily mean your physical clutter. It means things that are blocking you from the financial level you want or the job success you want or whatever you're trying to accomplish in life.
Well, maybe we could talk about that more next time. And
yep,
I'd like
I'll
to
have
talk,
got a couple I'm weeks.
In that too. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. Just a heads up, Glenn Frey, the Eagles founder, died today at 67 in New York.
Hmm.
The Eagles founder.
I didn't hear that one.
All right, we got 10 seconds. Hey, we're going to catch you back here next time at Awaken to Empowerment. Thanks for joining us. Bye, Nance.
Ciao.